Some scripture I'd like to share with you with the Lord's help. You know, we can't do nothing without the Lord.
Amen.
And as time goes on, I'm beginning to realize every morning I need Him more and more.
Amen.
And I'm just grateful that I have Him to go to.
Praise
the Lord for that. I'd like to ask you to turn to John chapter 14.
Bless you, brother.
We'll begin with verse 23, John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me.
Amen.
These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Praise the Lord.
And you know, when that verse 27 is what the Lord really impressed me with this week. Couldn't get it off my mind.
Bless
and
you,
I thought, boy, if there's anything that we need in this world today, it's God's peace.
Amen.
And when I was thinking about this, Lord, give me, it might seem silly to you all, but it just it's the way the Lord showed me. He began to show me a baby. And you know, all babies cry from the time they come out of the womb up to some of them are in their 70s and 80s and still crying. But anyway, I thought about that little baby crying, you know, and a lot of times, so many times, you know what will happen when the baby's crying? They'll stick a pacifier in its mouth. And it'll soothe it for a little bit. That'll quieten the crying down for just a little bit. But eventually it begins to cry again. You know why? Not getting nothing out of it.
Amen.
That's the world. The Lord said, my peace, the peace from God, the peace from our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace from the Holy Ghost. Not the world's peace. He said, not as the world giveth. And we see evidence all around us, especially in the last several years, of the type of peace that the world gives.
Amen. Don't last,
the baby will cry out. The babies will cry out. And you know what will happen? They'll get a pacifier stuck in their mouth. And you know what happens a little bit later? They're crying again.
Yeah.
They stick another pacifier in the mouth. You know what they need? They need the peace of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And I thought so much about this. And I, you know, the devil, Satan, he works right here on our minds.
Yeah.
That's where he's going to attack us with.
Amen.
And I began to think about this. You know, what does it mean to have the peace of God, the peace that comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, right off the bat, you know where I went to? The night up in our house that God dealt with our heart. And we come under conviction.
Praise the Lord.
And He revealed to us that all we have to do is repent of our sins, accept the blood of Jesus Christ as payment for those sins.
Amen.
And then begin this journey living for Him.
Amen.
And you know what happened? I felt like a ton, a mountain had been lifted. There was peace. There was the sweetest peace that I'd ever felt in my
Hallelujah.
Life come to me that night. The sweetest peace that I'd ever felt.
Praise the Lord.
And I know there's no doubt that this was the same way for you all.
Yes.
But I began to think about, you know, how do we keep our mind from being influenced by all this that's going on, all the turmoil, all the trouble and everything. And, you know, we need to have our mind. We need to get our mind on godly things.
Yeah.
So that we're not distracted. And if be patient with me if you would. There's one other place I'd like
You're
to go to.
Fine, son.
Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to begin in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Boy, if you can't rejoice in the Lord, you can't rejoice.
Amen.
That's the only thing we can rejoice in. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's where our help's going to come from. Verse 7, praise the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And look what he tells us to do. Verse 8. Oh, I tell you what. This was such a blessing to me when the Lord shared it with me. I hope and pray that it is you all. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let these things be on our mind. You know, he said, whatsoever things are true. You know what's true? Right here.
Yeah.
Nothing else. I don't care what it is. There's nothing else that's more truer than God's Word. We can stand on that. We can live with that. And he says, whatsoever things are honest. Have you ever seen a time when a lie is upheld the way that it is? People don't care to lie anymore. There's nothing wrong. The world says there's nothing wrong with lying. God says there is. And I'll just throw this in for good measure. There's no black lies. There's no white lies.
Amen.
A lie's a lie.
Amen.
There ain't no peace in it.
No. No, there's not. Whatsoever things are just, whatever's right to do according to God's Word, God's just. Whatever He decides, He's just in that.
Amen.
I've said this before. Now I have confidence that God loves me. I have confidence in the shed blood on Calvary. I have confidence that that's been applied to cover my sins. I'm confident in that.
Amen.
Not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God.
Yeah.
I didn't have a thing to do with it, only repent and accept it. That's the only thing I done. The rest of it was God. But if, when God calls me home, if he would say, Gene, I don't know you. Do you know he'd be just? God would be just in that, because he is a just God.
That's right.
And I'm going to get what I deserve.
Amen.
Everybody that stands before him will get what they deserve. I want to hold what is just, though, and walk in the footsteps of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as best as I possibly can, with the help and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatsoever things are pure. There's so much impurity, there's no morals anymore. Christians don't have to be drawn into that. We don't have to be pulled away from the purity and what's holy. If God don't approve it, don't do it. Pretty simple, isn't it? Whatsoever things are lovely. You know, it's not talking about, you know, something. It's not talking about the worldly lovely here. It's what looks good to God. What's pleasing to God. What's going to bring him pleasure. And whatsoever things are of a good report. Just doing what's right. Not so man will brag on us, but so our Father, which sees in secret, will reward us in secret, and we'll have good standing with him. I want to have friends. I want people to like me. I honestly do. I do. But I tell you who I'm more worried about than man. I got to stand before God one of these days.
Amen.
And what anybody else thinks ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter. If there be any virtue. You know what virtue is, don't you? That's what you do when nobody ain't watching. If you've got virtue, you're going to do the right thing when nobody's watching.
Amen.
God's watching. And then we can praise him. So I encourage you as brothers and sisters in Christ, and I want you to pray for me that I'll do this too. Let's think on these things. You want to?
Mm-hmm.
And let God use us.
Yes.
There's so many people out there that need our help.
Amen.
There might just be one person. If we can just say an encouraging word, sometimes just speaking to someone, sometimes just, I know our faces are covered up now with these masks, and they can't see us smiling a lot of times, but just an encouraging word, you know, and we never know what little thing that might seem little to us might be big in doing something for the Lord. So I've shared my heart, what the Lord wanted me to with you, and hope and pray that it helps and encourages us.
Good stuff,
I love you, and I just want you to know I love you.
We love you too, brother.
And I'm just so glad that the Lord led us this way.
Amen.
I can't thank you enough for the way that you've accepted me and Patty, and I just can't do that enough. And
hallelujah.
I'm home.
Praise the Lord.
I'm home. Well, I'm not home, but I'm sure one step closer.
Amen.
But
I know.
We'll take.
I hope the Lord really blesses you and helps you, that scripture that Brother Gene read there in the Gospel of John, John 14 talks about the peace of God, Brother Donnie, not the peace that the world offers, but the peace that God offers, and there's nothing like that. You've been where you've been sad, Geneva. I remember when your husband left us, and it was a sad day. But there was something different about that home. There was a peace there that I've experienced around the people of God. And I've also been in places where that people are just in turmoil and they're just screaming and. There is a difference in the peace of God that people of God, they have in their life. You know, we're in the book of Philippians, that old brotherly love church. I mean, he talked to us about some things there that we need to think about, we need to meditate on, we need to good things, honest things, pure things, And if we'll think on these things, you know what'll happen? The peace of God, he'll take over in no matter what situation that you're in. But I want to share a thought with you today. I've been pondering on all day, and since about 9 o'clock this morning, and been thinking about it a lot today, and I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you. And it'll go right along with what Gene was talking about. And I don't know about you, I need the peace of God. You notice what I said, I need the peace of God. But I want to talk to you tonight about this right here. I want to talk about the biggest need is to see the need. You think about that tonight. The biggest need is to see the need. I mean, as people of God and the church and we as the people of God and the pandemic that we've been through and as a pastor of a little old country church, and I'm so humbled and honored and thankful that God sent us this way. My responsibility is to realize the biggest need is for people to see the need. You're out there tonight. You need to see the need that you need peace. I mean, you need to see the need that you need to be led by the Spirit of God. The biggest need is to see the need. We was in meeting this morning, and I've been in there for several years, and a lot of around the conference table, and you got administrators and PhDs and RN nurses and big wheels. I mean, that's went to school a long time to get the degree that they got. And what they done that for was to be a help to those that are in need. But I was in there this morning, and it seemed like there was a calmness around the conference table, but yet there was probably 10 or 12 people in there, and they was all seeing the needs of others. And you know, they come to agreement on some things that they seen a need, and they wanted to do something about it. So the biggest thing for a child of God is to realize the biggest need is to see the need. Turn with me tonight. You pray, and maybe you'll know where I'm. Maybe you'll know what I'm talking about tonight. But let's go to Acts chapter number 24 to start tonight. Acts chapter number 24. And you know Acts, that's what happened after Pentecost when the preacher started preaching the gospel, and men realized, Donnie, they had a need. They had a need of being saved. They had a need of being born again. I mean, I'm going to show you here in John in a minute. I thought you was going to my scripture there, Gene, but I mean, there is times in our life that we've got to realize that sometimes our biggest need is to see the need. But as a child of God, you look around in this world of turmoil that we're in, we know tonight that we have a need. But I'll assure you tonight, the biggest need, people that's out there tonight, they need to see the need. Amen. Stay with me tonight. Acts chapter 24. I want to read just one verse of scripture right here. And I hope and pray tonight it'll sink down in you wherever you're at out there. But here was a time that Paul was accused of preaching the resurrection, and they wanted to put a stop to that, put him in jail, trying to kill him, trying to stone him, everything else. But here he was in front of a man one time, right here in the 24th chapter of the book of Acts, in the 25th verse, listen to what it says. And as Paul reasoned, this is Paul, he said, and as he reasoned of the righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." You may be seated tonight, but you know tonight here Paul was trying to convince Felix about the Lord and what the Lord had done. And Paul went back in the Bible and used the Old Testament leading up to Christ and so on and so forth. But here Festus said this right here as Paul was replying, as Paul was reasoning to him about self-control and temperance and the things of God. Right here's what he told him. He said, "Leave me alone. Go thy way for this time." He said, "When I have a convenient season," he said, "I'll call for thee." So let's look tonight and realize what Felix's problem was right here. Evidently, he didn't see the need. He didn't see the need of what Paul was trying to preach to him. He didn't see the need of what that was being said. He didn't see the need of going any farther. He didn't see the need of getting right with God. But I want you to know tonight, the old man of God right there, brother, I guarantee tonight, if Paul could stand right here and preach, and he's still preaching tonight, out of the book of Acts, I tell you what he's saying is, hey, the biggest need is for you to see the need. Festus said, Felix said, hey, just go on right now, go away from me, and come back at a more convenient time. I just don't see the need right now. I just don't have time right now. I don't have the need right now. Let me say something out there tonight. Have people out there tuned in, wherever you might be. I'll assure you tonight, there's a need in your life, and the need is for you to get right with God, be in the house of God, and set your house in order, and realize that the biggest need you've got is to see the need, that you need the Lord in the right place. I mean, we'll put God in a convenient place. I mean, if it's convenient for me, I'll come. If it's convenient for my family, my house, we'll take time and come to church. But I'm trying to persuade you tonight to realize your biggest need is for you to see the need. Now turn with me tonight over to the Gospel of Saint John, Gospel of John. Well, I don't need church. Well, what are you saying? You don't need the peace of God? What are you saying? You don't need... I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. God's Bible said, "Forget not to assemble yourself together in the manner is, even more as you see the day approaching, exhorting one another and building up." I'm not talking about people sick and the world's got them working. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people that'll do everything else that's convenient for them. But when it comes time to go to the house of God, they don't see the need for it. But I say tonight, your biggest need is to realize what the need is in your life and the church's life and the organization that we're a part of and the outreach ministry we're a part of. The biggest need is to realize the need.
Yeah.
John chapter number 5. Look right here with me just for a few minutes. Now listen tonight. We can make all kinds of excuses, get mad in a boiling meat, do whatever you want to do. But in the gospel, Jesus made ready a supper, and he said, "Go out and invite them to come in." Well, I can't. I've married a wife. He said, "I bought some land. I bought some mules I got to try out." But God's Bible says this right here. Hey, old man, we're without excuse. Our excuses ain't going to hold up at the judgment bar of God. Why is that? Because brothers and sisters out there, the biggest need that you've got is to realize you have a need. Tell you what the book said in Revelation. Ah, in John, the gospel. Ah, just look what I've accomplished. Look around. I'm going to fill my bins up, and I'm going to build me a house. I'm just going to lay back and take it easy. And God said, thou fool. He said, this night thy soul have been required of thee. Now what am I saying? I'm saying, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? If he gained the whole world and went to hell, what would it profit a man? I tell you, out there tonight listening in, out there however you're tuned in, your biggest need is to see that you have a need. Let me tell you something tonight. Geneva's here tonight. Feeble, don't feel good most of the time, a lot of times, struggles of a morning, but here she is up in the years God's blessed her, and she still sees the need to come to the house of God. Her want to is overruled. Her want to, she's overcome her flesh. Maybe been just for 30, 45 minutes an hour, hoping and praying that God would let her sit in heavenly places for a few minutes. I know she knows tonight that she needs to be here, but I believe there's some that have an excuse, and she's one of them, and the rest of us, it just won't hold water. The biggest need we got is to realize we have a need. John chapter number 5. Now, don't you look at this right here. Very, very familiar scripture. It's about the pool of Bethesda. And evidently, that there's a certain time of year. The Bible don't say when it was. It says it's a certain time. That there was an angel come down there and stirred the water. Do you know out there tonight, if we put God where he needs to be, God actually might send you a message one night and stir the water enough to give you help. And if you just realize your biggest need is to realize you've got a need. John chapter 5 verse 3 said, in these, on them porches, on them church pews, in these lay a great multitude of impotent, which means crippled. They had a need, Donnie. Waiting for the moving of the water. Now I believe tonight, me and you as the people of God and the children of God, the book of Ephesians talks about you and I being a new creature, a new creation, Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, sitting in heavenly places. When we mind the Lord in the house of God, I believe it gets the water stirred. Amen. And I don't know about you. We need the water stirred. Yeah. Let me tell you something tonight. God got Lou down there doing the visitation. She's over at. And in between that, you know what she's allowed to do that she gets to do now? She gets to go from room to room and make sure they got ice in their things. And lo and behold, how did it happen that way? A divine appointment today, I don't remember what time it was, between 3 and 4, I walked by a room and she is in there talking to a woman about God and the things of God, how good God is. And here I was, went by, hey, come in here, will you? And right here's what she said. This lady, this elderly woman, she said, I want to pray that God would help me get through therapy and get out of here. As she said, my neighbors need God and my neighbors are lost. I mean, she was crippled and can't walk, but she's got a vision and an anticipation and a goal and a vision that she can walk again and go out and win people to God.
Yeah.
Here these people were laying on that porch waiting on the moving of the water because they were crippled. They had a need. Let me say tonight, if my Christian life, I realize I need the peace of God in my life in this world of turmoil that we live in. And I realize tonight that that being together in the house of God should be one of the most important things in our life, if not the most important thing in our life, and seeing the need of it, that we get down here and get what we need, that so we can experience the peace of God and be a help and a light in a lost world, where people are crippled and lame and blind and halt and everything else. They was laying on the porch waiting for the moving of the water, because a certain time of year an angel come down and stirred the water. They had a need. Look right here. Look, I'm going to read one more verse in this chapter. No, I'm going to read two or three more. Verse 4 said, "For an angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. I'm talking about had a need for a long time. And Jesus asked him. He said he seen him lying. He knew that he'd been that way a long time. He knew that he had a need for a long time. And right here's what he said to him. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And that man, that crippled man said, "I know I've got a need. I know that I need something. But every time that I start to get up, somebody will get in front of me." And more or less than that, he said, "I ain't got nobody to help me." I'm going to tell you tonight, beloved, the biggest need that we the biggest need in America and in the church world is to realize that we have a need. And not only that, guys, is to not focus on my poor no more. There's other people out there that has a need. Amen. When I realize that my biggest need is I have a need, and when I try to feel that need, that void, and that turmoil, that trouble that tries to control my life, when I realize the biggest need that I have is to get that under control by the prayer and the reading and the fellowship in the house of God, I'm able to help somebody get in the pool.
Amen.
This man, these people on the porch, they had a need. But he said right here, he said, "When the water's troubled," he said, "when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool while I'm coming, another step down before me." And Jesus said, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Listen, guys. Doesn't matter how many people's around the porch. Doesn't matter how many people is sitting beside you in the house of God. I mean, don't take me out of contact. It does. I'd like to see the house of God grow and God get the honor and the glory out of it. But I tell you tonight, when we realize the biggest need is to see the need, when the Lord calls, I tell you what we'll do. Immediately we'll do something about it. All right, now I want you to go over to the Gospel of Luke for the message. Luke chapter number 5. Well, preacher, I just don't have time. I need to pick a more convenient time. We was coming down the road a while ago, seen a white Chevrolet truck, and I said, "Oh no, that looks like Donnie coming up, just getting off work." Got down there at the old road, and where he turned to go home, it wasn't him. I said, "Hallelujah, praise God." When I turned in and seen the white truck, I said, "Praise God, he's here." There are people that realize the biggest need that God, they've realized what their need is. Luke chapter number 5, I want you to look at this right here. I'm going to start reading about verse number 8. Now we've seen Felix. Felix didn't have time. He didn't see the need. John chapter 5, there was people there around the pool, around the porch there, that they had a need, but something always got in the way, something always got prevented them from getting the healing or whatever the need was. Somebody couldn't help them get in, or somebody beat them in. I mean, you can go to church and people begin to pray, and maybe you want to come to the altar, and the devil will say, well, what they're up there for? I tell you what, we ought to be praying. God help them, whatever they're there for. And I like what you said a long time ago, Geneva. If it's a woman, come up here and pray with them. If it's a man, you be and pray with them. We're here to help one another. We're here to be encouraging to one another. And let them know they're not in it alone. We're trying to be a blessing and a help and support, and tell them, hey, we're right there with you, brother or sister. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 8. Right years after they caught the biggest fish, biggest catch ever called their partners together. And then when they realized what happened and who seen it and who was responsible for it, Peter, verse 8 said, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. We all need to realize that there's none good, no, not one. God help us tonight. We're not holier than thou. It's God that worketh. It's God that doeth the things. Have the spirit of recognizing who God is and how frail we are, and knowing that we need God. I read there, I believe it might have been John today. He said, without me you can do nothing, but with me you can do all things. And thank God tonight we need to realize the holiness of God and realize who we are. But yet on the other hand, what God can do through us, if we realize the biggest need is, and that we need to see the need. Amen. Look right here. In verse number 9 says, for he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of fish that were taken. Wow. Can you believe what he just allowed us to do? Verse 10, and so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, with partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, fear not, boys, don't be afraid. From this day forward, henceforth, thou shalt catch men. See, Jesus, listen tonight. We got to realize, I know that Jesus don't need me, but I need him. But yet through this life, God uses people like me, and God uses people like you. He said, from this day forward, boys, he said, are you not going to depend on fishing for your livelihood? He said, praise God, from this day forward, you're going to catch men. Willard, I can't wait till we get to go. But anyway, let's go on. Verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They didn't say, Jesus, come back at a more convenient time. They didn't say, Lord, we don't have time to go right now. I mean, bless God, they left boats, they left the nets, they left everything there. They left her sitting on the bank, and they began to follow Jesus. Why was it? They seen that there was a need, and God was able to use them. Listen to this, guys. There's a lot of things Jesus done for 3.5 years. Those men watched the Lord. What cleansed the leper. They saw him open the eyes of the blind. They saw him do these things. But down there at the end, he said, boys, he said, greater things than these are you going to be able to do, because I go to the Father and I'm going to send what Gene read to you. Have that peace of God. Let not your heart be troubled. troubled. If you believe in God, be wise. And on and on. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, when I leave, I'll send the comforter. And that comforter, guys, it's what leads us and guides us. I get up in the morning and I realize my biggest need is knowing that my need is getting in God's book and getting me a little nugget or something to gnaw on. That to be a blessing and a help to you all. It's to help people to realize that their biggest need is to realize the need. West is deep, boys. But anyhow, they followed him. Verse 12. And it came to pass, he was in a certain city, and behold, a man full of leprosy. He didn't just have a spot here and yonder, he's full of it. Who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here this leper was. What did he do? He realized he had a need. He realized the biggest need that he had was to begin to recognize Jesus for who he was, and to realize, not only recognize who Jesus was, but to realize the need in his own life. Revelation said, we're rich. We're beautiful. We've got all we need. We don't need nothing. But Jesus said, the sad thing about it is, he said, you're blind, you're miserable, and you're naked, and you don't even know it. They didn't realize they had a need. They thought they had everything. This world, guys, today, you know, they think they've got everything. But I'll assure you tonight, guys, the biggest need that America needs to realize is they need to realize the need. But anyway, verse 13, and the Bible said, and he put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priests and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Let me say it this way. Hey, when God cleanses you, when he makes you white, when he washes you, pray God, prove yourself to the church. Amen. You know why a lot of them's on the shelf? You know why a lot of them's up there? Just like the potter, when he goes down there and makes the clay, he does everything to it. But there's a time he sets it on the shelf. Hey, some of you out there, you sit on the shelf long enough, you need to come down and be in the house of God. Let God use you. What's the church doing? How's the church doing, Paul? Come and see. Come and see. You know, the thing about it is, though, most people that I've ever talked to over the years, when they go to asking about the church, how you doing, and you say something like, well, won't you come be with us? They get mad at you. They're really not mad at you. They're mad at themselves. And Paul said, we were once like that, hateful to one another. But when I realize my biggest need is seeing the need, it'll change everything about you. I believe if America had a message to hear today, it would be this. Realize you've got a need. Seeing the need and doing something about it. Amen. All we need to get in church. We need to get right with God. We need to do this. We need to do that. If you see the need, if you realize there is a need, if you'll recognize the need, if you'll see the need, you'll begin to follow Jesus. Let's go on right here. All right, verse 15, I'm going to hurry now. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by their infirmity. I mean, the word of God got out. They realized, pray God, Jesus is around here, and his fame began to grow, and they begin to realize, hey, we've got a need, and I hear he'll take care of our need. Hey, I know he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He owns it all, guys. But there's people out there tonight that's got spiritual need. They need to be saved. They need to be touched. They need to be healed. They need to be touched by the Master's hand.
Yes.
Now listen, how are we going to convince others of their need when we can't even see our own need? How can we tell other people they need to go to church when we don't even go ourselves? How are we going to convince other people to live right when we don't even live right ourselves? All right, in verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now look here, guys. A lot of times when you get that crowd in the room, a lot of times when you get that crowd in the midst, it won't be a convenient time for them. Ask Festus, Felix. Paul, not convenient. I don't have time for it right now. The Bible said in verse number 18, now pay close attention to this right here, guys, and I'll prove what you said. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought by means to get him in and to lay him before the Lord. See, guys, looky right here. These four men, these guys, they realized the biggest need was at that time was to get that man to Jesus. How long's it been since we've had a testimony that when we invited somebody or we prayed with somebody that the Holy Ghost was present and it made a difference in what we were saying and what we were doing? But these men, they saw that there was a need, but there was a problem there. There was a need in an individual's life, but because of the crowd and the woman, the issue of the blood, the press, and a lot of things around them, they saw the need, but they wasn't willing to make an effort to get that man to Jesus. I don't have time. That's too much. I'm not going to have to take that roof off. That's too much work. I'm not going to have to lay them boards aside to get that man to Jesus. He can come back tomorrow when there ain't so many people around. But look what these men did. They seen a need. They seen the biggest need right there was. The Bible said they know that the power of God, the power of healing was in that place. And they seen a need in that man's life and they began to do something about it. Lou, that's what you done. You should come here. Have prayer with me. I mean, what we do to help other people's lives, we're seeing their need and we want to make an effort and do something about it. Verse number 19, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop. Look here, guys. Now let's look at reality here. Everybody's so busy. Everybody's got so many irons in the fire and they don't have time for Jesus. They get down there with somebody that has a need and they won't even go themselves. They'll turn around and go back home. And they'll use every excuse in the book to stay out of the house. Honey, it don't take 19 people to blow one child's nose. But I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying that's how we are. Well, we can't get to the Lord. waste COVID in there, and they, Lord God, they sick people in there, and they was sick people in that house. They'd already brought them down there. And they said, well, we'll come back at a more convenient time. These men said, hey, let's get on the roof. There's a need here, and we're going to do something about it. And in verse number 19, he said, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst of Jesus. Look here what Jesus said. And when he saw their faith, not the one laying on the bed, not the one laying on the couch, when he saw their faith, the mind of Christ, maybe he thought this: them boys, those men seen the biggest need in this man's life. It was, he had a need. Honey, there's people out there that simply right now can't do nothing for themselves. And we as the people of God, we've got to do something about it. Jesus said, I'm going to touch these men. I'm going to touch this one laying on this couch because of their faith. Listen, guys, I believe this. There's people in your family, my family, I believe if we could get them in the house of God at Lick Creek House of Prayer, and everybody mind God and the water go to stirring, they can't handle it. They break down. Lord looked down there and said, watch them. Look at their faith. One of them's a crying, telling them what I've done for them. Nothing's over here crying over their kids, wanting them to be saved. And boy, if somebody's loving on somebody, boy, they realize their biggest need is, and they realize their biggest need is needing me in the midst of stuff. We preached this for years here at Lick Creek. Come to the house of God, get in here, sit down, be ready to have church. Then when you get in here, God will see us, and we realize we got a need. Lay everything aside, and the weight of sin sees him, besets us, and God can use us. Why, that's smart, Alec. I don't have to come in and be quiet. You ain't got a need then. Or you're stubborn and selfish about other people's needs. Listen. Who are you preaching to? I'm preaching to me and Lou and those that will agree with me. Amen. People have needs, guys. Amen. In verse number 20 again, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, you think the Lord don't know what he's doing. He knowed who was in the house, them chief priests and scribes and all that was going to say, well, can't nobody forgive sin but God. They missed the mark, ain't they? In verse number 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blaspheme? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus received their thoughts, he said, I love this part right here. He answered and said unto them, why reason ye in your hearts, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise, take up the bed, rise up and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Looky here, looky what my Jesus done. He said unto the sick and the palsy, I say unto thee, get up, arise, take up thy couch, and go to thine own house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up his upon where he laid and departed into his own house, glorified God. And they all was amazed and glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, What have we seen? We have seen strange things today. I tell you, when we see strange things, when people realize their need and realize the biggest need that there is to realize that there is a need, and that God help each and every one of us to realize God's able to help all of us and to strengthen all of us. But you out there, I want to convince you tonight is that the biggest need you've got is to realize you have a need. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to the house. That's my message tonight. Gene talked about the peace of God that only comes from God. The world can't give you peace. It'll give you temporal peace, but it don't last. But when I realized that I had a need, that the only way I could get by in this world was to have Jesus where he needed to be, praise God, my needs and a lot of my other things began to be met. But I beg you out there tonight, tuned in, listening to us, whoever you are, whoever be tuned in, please, please realize your biggest need is that you have a need. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, in our weak and our feeble way, I know your word will not return into your void. I pray, God, tonight that everybody out there listening by Facebook or the church website or in their automobiles or wherever they might be tonight, God, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we can realize that our biggest need is to realize that we have a need. And oh God, I ask you tonight to be with Lick Creek. Help us, God, to grow and to be a light and a place where people can say that people know they have needs and a place they can come to and their needs be met. And God, live peaceably with all men and love you more than anything in this life. And God, we can agree and we can walk together and we can let them down through the roof, bring them in, invite them in. And God, by our lives, they can see that we're relying on your life and on your power and depending on you. And God, that they'll realize their need and want to come be a part of us and we'll not fail to bow and our unworthy head give you all the praise and the ever and the honor and the glory. God, that anything that's ever accomplished here, Lord, we'll tell it everywhere that you've done it all. It ain't about me or anybody else. It's about lifting up Jesus, the great healer, the great author, and the finisher of our faith. Help us to realize, God, the biggest need that we have is to realize that we have a need in Jesus' humble name. Amen and amen.